Well, I think if it were miraculously and it could happen, I wish every kid could come to me with a level playing field. Mm. You know, I know differences are great. It's good to have different experiences. That's what keeps the world interesting. But I mean, they all have food at home. They all have love at home.
Mm-hmm.
They all have someone who will read with them, celebrate with them, pick them up when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
If I could ask for a miracle, I would want that for all of our kids coming into school.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Mandy Traylor. Mandy is the superintendent at Very Best Independent School District in Very Best, Texas. I love that name, Mandy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We do, too. We have a lot of fun with it.
So tell us what's going on in Very Best ISD.
Well, Very Best is about, I'm not sure if you know where it is. It's about 10 miles east of San Angelo in Texas. And we are a small 1A school. It's right in the middle of the cotton patch. And we average about 265 kids each year, give or take.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have had an increase in enrollment this year. So we've had about 20 more come in, which has been exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have had a great start to the school year, and I truly do. I mean, I use it a lot, but I really do have the very best kids.
That's exciting. There's so many things you could do with that name. It's so great. I don't know who named it, but kudos to them. It's like, and right in the cotton patch. I love that too. So you were telling me before we went on live on the show that you have some really kind of cool self-defense stuff and adulting 101. Can you tell us about those programs?
Yeah, absolutely. So our class sizes are, you know, pretty small each year. We never really know. Last year, I only had 14 seniors, but this year I'm averaging about 25. So when you have those small class sizes, you have a little flexibility to be more innovative.
Yeah.
And it has really troubled me for a while that we are sending these kiddos, these graduates out into the world, you know, with the things they need from academics. They're reading, they're writing, they're doing mm-hmm. those things.
Mm-hmm.
But here they go off to college without a real understanding of basic things they need to know. And the biggest accomplishment so far has been my Lady Falcon self-defense team. That is near and dear to my heart. I have known some people in my life who have dealt with situations where they were attacked and hurt, and it was terrible.
Right.
So it was very important to me that these girls that we're sending out have some awareness of how to watch their surroundings, how to take care of themselves, how to fight back if they have to, which I hope they never do.
Mm-hmm.
Say one day opportunity where we have people come in who teach a course. They start with classroom time, videos, why you need to be self-aware, how you watch your surroundings, just little things, you know, going to the mall, coming out, what you need to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually go into the gymnasium and spend a day learning techniques.
Oh,
and
wow.
By the end of the day, it is liberating to see, you know, a 90-pound, shy young girl who had no confidence throw a grown man to the ground.
Wow. Yeah.
Bust out of zip ties, or, you know, just the amount of confidence is incredible. And so I know that one day, it's one day out of the school year, and it's one day out of the classroom, but it's one day that could potentially save a life.
You're going to save somebody's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Yes. It will benefit them the rest of their life. So it is a very strong program.
Yeah, and it's so important. There's a woman that I watch on TikTok. I don't do TikTok. My daughter got me on TikTok, and I think it might have been Instagram. Doesn't matter. But she talks about about safety tips, and it is one of the things that she had said. And I wish I knew her name, but I don't. I'm really bad about that. But we as women don't pay attention. You know, we just get I was guilty of this up till I heard her talk about it. We get in our car and we sit there. You know, we don't pay attention to anything that's around us. We get in the car, we sit down, and we're messing with our makeup, messing with our hair, doing whatever it is that women do, which there's a lot, I know. And we don't even lock the door. And right. We don't even pay attention. And it's like, you're so vulnerable when you do that. And for some reason, that stuck with me. And kudos to you for this program. It's so fantastic that you are giving these girls the tools that they need to be safe. And wow, so good. So good.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. So, and then you told me you have a class also. Tell us about that.
Well, later on, usually second semester, we start once a week implementing what we call Adulting 101. We have a great staff. You're the very best staff.
The
very best. And everyone, you know, we have several people who can bring something to the table. We have a man in our maintenance department who teaches our kids how to change a tire and basic vehicle maintenance, you know, things that... Mm-hmm. You know, you need to know, because let's be honest, not everyone has the time to teach these things at home anymore. Everyone's working. Everyone's, you know, keeping up and trying to do the best they can. But these are things that these kids need to know. We have another a coach and teacher and our principal. They divide up the boys and girls and they talk about professional dress and interview etiquette, and everybody learns how to tie a tie. And we even have community members who will come in and do mock interviews with our kids.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just basic tips, you know, when you go in for your first interview or even your second, or, you know, things you need to think about. And so that is, it's really amazing watching our teachers who already have built these relationships now step into that role of, let me prepare you for what you need to know as an adult. We have a counselor. She's great. She helps me organize everything. She teaches an etiquette class focused on culinary, you know, like diving etiquette, you know. So we serve a meal, and some of our other, like our junior students come in and help serve the students, but we talk about dining etiquette. And I say, you know, this is not just important for prom or, you know, something you might go to a business dinner one day in your future. There might be something special where you're, you know, you really, really want to make an impression. And these are things you need to know when you go out on those sort of dinner dates. And they are just so appreciative of the information. And in fact, our class last year, we did it later in the year. They said, why didn't you teach us this earlier? You took us, we talked to take them out to eat and little special reward trips. They said, we needed to know this. So we're going to try to do that earlier. We do basic banking.
Good.
That sort of thing. And mm-hmm. Let's money. See what else. Yeah. Money. I mean, that's money. Important. You know, what is a routing number?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at a check, what do those numbers mean at the bottom? What are these interest rates? All those kinds of things. In their financial math class, they are getting income tax, how to fill out all those forms for employment, that sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Right.
So we do. Yeah. We have a lot. Our local sheriff comes in, and he works with our students on how to interact with an officer, say if they're pulled over, you know, which is a requirement in Texas, but it works very nicely for our adulting classes.
Nice. Nice. That's just, I love that. And I love that you call it Adulting 101. That's so cool, because it's just, you don't know what you don't know until you don't know, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so fantastic. So who came up with the idea?
Well, I did, but not necessarily. I just don't want to say I created it. I've just been hearing that a lot. You know, we're not preparing our kids. We're not teaching our kids things that they need to know. And I can't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are things that need to be taught, and they need to be exposed to, so that when they go out, it's not something foreign to them.
Right.
I mean, we've had kids say before, hey, I want to know how to file my taxes. I want to know what this means. And so we took the initiative to put a program together.
Very cool. That is just, it's so good. It's just so good. You know, I'm sitting here racking my brain. I told you I'm not good with names, right? But I know J.D. Vance. He wrote a book and they did a movie. And I actually listened to the book. I love audiobooks. And I can't, something of a hillbilly. I can't remember what it is, but
Hillbilly Elegy. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. Good grief. I wanted to say diary and I was like, I know that's not Hillbilly Elegy. It was fantastic. Yes. If you've not listened to this story,
yes.
Our vice president, oh my goodness, he came from tough background in Ohio. And he talks about when he was at Yale about dining and how he called Usha because he was like, there are too many forks. I don't know what to do with all these forks. Yes. And she just told him work from the outside in. And it, you know, he just didn't know. So you're preparing them for something that even our vice president, when he was in college, didn't know how to do. So,
yes.
You know, it's just, and how transparent it is to just go, wow. You know, so good. Kudos to you for doing that before they even get to college, you know, so they're ready. Yeah.
And
thank you for the name. I was like, oh, yeah. Couldn't think of it.
Well, I read the book. The book is phenomenal.
It is.
And I truly believe every educator should read that book. I mm-hmm. mean, it's just gives you a really good insight. And you learn something about another part of the country that maybe you weren't aware of. So,
yeah.
It was a good resource for me, exactly. And we had started this previously, but you're right. That did help validate what we were doing in Very Best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is we lived there. We lived in Cincinnati for a while, and then we lived in Dayton. My husband's from Ohio, and Middleton is right between, they called it a bedroom community because it was halfway between Cincinnati and halfway between Dayton. And I'm like, good grief. I know exactly where he's talking about. We were not in that socioeconomic situation that he was in. You know, he was very poor, and his parents, his mom and his grandma, the stories. And I'm telling you, and I don't mean to be just pushing his book, but it was just, it's just so amazing that if you want something and if you fight for it, this is the land of opportunity. And there are so many opportunities to advance yourself if you work at it and you keep at it. And his transparency in that book is just astounding. And it was a fun listen too. It was just, you know, how him talking about all those things. So
I bet it was. I think the part that resonated with me the most was his grandfather working all day and then coming home and we're gonna do math. He wanted to make sure he did that math. And
yeah. Yeah.
So everybody Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, he had a really great support system with his grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. He did. He absolutely did. He absolutely did. And that's, you know, that's part of, and that's what you guys, what we as educators do. We give them that support. That's what you're doing with Adulting 101. You're giving them the tools to be successful and to tell them that they can do it, that it's, anything is possible if you work hard, right?
Absolutely. So. And I understand the needs in education, and I understand the thing why we do the things we have to do. Mm-hmm. I get that. But at the end of the day, learning how to throw a ball or how to bubble a test is not going to help them succeed at college or at an adult job. I mean, and I know why we do those things. There are so many valuable reasons we do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But no longer are these things being learned at home and you know, across the board. So it's time to step up and help out.
Occupational therapy shouldn't be one more thing on your plate. It should be a solution. Lighthouse Therapy offers school-based occupational therapy services that actually work for you and your staff. Our OTs have an average of 16 years of experience in schools, and they support everything from handwriting to fine motor to sensory integration. And you can choose from three different service models, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person. It's OT that fits your workflow without the chaos. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more. Awesome. So what would you say beyond that? What would you say for Very Best? What is your biggest challenge right now?
My goodness. Testing. Yeah. My biggest challenge right now is testing. We are separated into two campuses. We have two campus numbers, even though we are small and all connected.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. And therefore, my elementary campus is only tested third, fourth, fifth. And then secondary is 6th through 12th. So when it comes down to state accountability, all of our data for our high school is actually our junior high and our high school. And so your STAR data encompasses each one of those grades, each year of growth from 6th and up, plus your graduation rates, plus your CCMR rates. All of those things go into one. Whereas my elementary, we have two grades that can show growth. And when you have 14 kids in a class, one counts a whole lot.
A lot, yeah. Yes. Oh my goodness, yeah.
And then, yeah, and that one may count multiple times depending on how they're categorized in our system. And so it is really a struggle because we have the very best teachers. I mean, mm-hmm. we really do. We right. We have very little turnover. We are blessed. And it is a good place to be. But every school, no matter how great it is has a problem. You know, there's right. always something you're working on. And if you're not, then you're stagnant. You need to be working and growing.
Right.
But that really is our challenge right now. And we've got things in motion to do to accelerate that learning and to do better. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who felt like testing that day.
Yeah.
Who did what they needed to do. And so I am looking forward to some changes with testing reform. Not sure what exactly is going to come up. I mean, I know they've got things in place that they've been right. talking about in session, but we're just going to have to see how it is and if it's really better for us. But mm-hmm. once we improve and we do better, because my district overall is a B, because my secondary, I mean, is very, very strong, mm-hmm. but my elementary struggles that pulled us down a bit. Once we get where we need to be, I need to get us on one campus number, you know,
yeah,
levels the playing field for both campuses.
Yeah. Well, and I've always, I struggle with the whole idea that a school, any school is measured by one test score. You know, that to me, what other industry out there judges their people, judges how well they're doing, judges how well the kids are doing based on one moment in time? And it's a moment in time. We always say that in special education as an SLP. You know, we look at test scores and we look at, you know, we set the IEP based on how they did that day. But we tell parents in the IEP meeting, look, this is how your child was performing that day. Exactly. And they're always growing. They're always improving. There's always things that come up. But if they were not feeling good, or it was a tough day, or whatever it was, that's going to affect those scores. And yet, that is what our government uses to determine whether or not you, as an educator with massive amounts of experience who really cares about the kids, is judged. And it frustrates me. It really, really frustrates me.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't see it getting better anytime soon, but
Here. That's why we're talking about it.
Yes.
That's why Brighter Together exists, because that's a problem. And that, and it obviously my voice goes up, my volume, it makes me mad. I mean, it really frustrates me, because then every single commentator out there on the news talks about how test scores are failing. And it's like, you are looking at one aspect of an incredibly complex system and judging based on your past experience. And a lot of them don't even have their kids in public schools. So
that's true. You're absolutely right.
Take your judgy hat off and start looking at what's really happening in education, you know? Okay,
well,
I'm done. I'm on my soapbox, right?
Yeah, I highly doubt that any of your listeners can say they've never had a day that they weren't feeling their best and did
right.
their best, you know?
Yeah.
And
are we going to judge you based on that one bad day? No.
Not. I really hope not.
It's maddening. And it's absolutely maddening. Yeah.
It's a reach to hope that every single one of your kids is going to do their very best on that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like student count day too. You know, I don't know if that's a Texas thing, but I remember in Michigan, and I remember as a kid in Nebraska. Now I'm I don't know about Nebraska, but in Michigan, the kids had to be there on student count day. And if they weren't, they didn't get counted. And the school didn't get any funding for that child because they weren't at school that day. And how silly is that?
That's, you know, every day here. We have
it. Is it the same? Is it the same? Okay.
It's not about, and people really don't realize this. It's not about who's on your roster. Mm-mm. It's whether or not the child was in their seat during that moment of time.
Which is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Who picked that system?
I don't know.
Where did that come from? You know, I'm just like,
I don't know. Because I can't tell you how many Saturday schools I've held to allow kids who've had issues come and make up time so that they can graduate. Mm-hmm. But we can't. That doesn't count towards funding. That's just something out of our pocket we're doing to do the best thing we can for kids, to give them those opportunities.
And that's,
because
and
that
happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what educators are doing. That's what you do. That's what so many administrators and teachers across this country are doing, is fighting for our kids, fighting for students to have a good experience, to be able to graduate, to be able to. They're our next generation. They are the ones that are going to move us forward. And we're fighting a battle that we really shouldn't be battling. We should. If anything, they should be pouring money and helping us, because this is the next generation, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with us or not. It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening.
Well, and
I don't know how to fix it, but I can rail about it. That's for sure.
That's one reason I truly believe that the people in education are some of the strongest that you will ever meet. Because they truly are here because they want to have servants' hearts. They have servant leadership. They want to do the best they can. They want to help that future generation. And every time we turn around, there's ridicule, that there's bashing. You know, these rules are being made by people who have not been in a classroom since they graduated. And so it is hard and we are tired. But we press on.
Right. And that is why we are here. That is why this platform and my mission is what it is, because we want people to hear about Adulting 101. We want to hear about the amazing things that are happening. And that's why I don't, you know, it's like some people, like, not you, but in the past, I've had people, well, we're a tiny little school and you want to talk to us? I'm like, heck yeah. I want to talk to Houston ISD. I want to talk to Dallas ISD. I want to talk to Mandy Traylor, because every single one of the administrators out there is fighting a fight for our kids. And it doesn't matter if it's 20 kids or 2,000 kids or 20,000 kids. I've talked to administrators, superintendents in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, just, it doesn't matter. What matters is every single day you guys get up, you fight the fight, and you do everything you can to try to help these kids. And it is the most thankless job on the planet from that perspective. Now, the kids that graduate, there's where the reward is, because they do graduate and they do appreciate it. Just like you said, your kids, why didn't we do this earlier, right?
Yes.
But
our kids are incredible. They really are. I mean, I have volleyball girls that will go thank the person who volunteered to call lines on their own. I mean, there is something magical about a small school. And I have been in 5A, I have been in 3A, I have been in 2A. And I'm telling you, this 1A school has my heart. And I don't know if I could ever go bigger. I mean, one day maybe, but there is something about knowing your kids and them knowing you and the feeling you get that you're truly shaping this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this group and the next group next year and the group last year and all of the little things you know, little things that you do every single day that have such a huge impact on everybody. Has that teacher, everybody has that person in their lives, in their educational system that made a difference. And half the time they don't even know, you know, I mean, you know, you don't even always find out. We know. I mean, I remember who my person was. You remember who your person was. But there's a whole line of them. And those people are just one piece of the whole thing that got you over that line, right? That got me over that line. That lets me get on this podcast and rail about the injustices of what we put up with in education, right? Yes. But it matters. It matters. And every single one of those children and every single one of those educators, including yourself, matter. And that's why we do what we do, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm grateful to be able to do it. I really am. I'm blessed beyond measure. God has been so good to me. And I am happy to be on this platform because it just needs to happen. And the more that we get it out there, the more people talk about it, that's how things change. That just complaining at home isn't going to change anything. So what do? I put my money where my mouth is and go, we need to fix this right now.
I love it.
Yeah. So, all right. So last question. It's been a great conversation, Mandy. It really has. And I know we've kind of touched on this, but I really want to ask this question anyway, because I know you'll have a great answer. So if you could miraculously fix just one thing, I know we've talked about test scores, so don't say that, because I know it's an issue anyway. But if you could just miraculously fix, and I say miraculously because, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe we have a God who can fix anything. So let's speak it out, right? But if you could fix one thing in your world as an educator, and it wasn't money, and it wasn't test scores, what would it be?
Well, I think if it were miraculously and it could happen, I wish every kid could come to me with a level playing field. Mm. You know, I know differences are great. It's good to have different experiences. That's what keeps the world interesting. But I mean, they all have food at home. They all have love at home. Mm-hmm. They all have someone who will read with them, celebrate with them, pick them up when they're down. Mm-hmm. If I could ask for a miracle, I would want that for all of our kids coming into school.
Amen. Great answer. Absolutely fantastic answer. It's really close to the last interview I did. He said something very similar. And it's just, yeah, we've got to give them the love and to give them that so that they can learn and to have people that love them. It's just, it's heartbreaking when they don't have it. It really
is. It is. And but we're here. And that's
And
that's
you do.
What we do.
Yeah, that you do, right? Yeah, but but when they have it at home, it makes a difference too. So, and that's what when we were talking about JD Vance, he did. That's what he had. He had a grandma that just loved him to death. Absolutely loved
him. Despite all of her challenges in life, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. all of her hardships, she had the want to make sure he had everything that she didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think we all want more for our kids than we have. I hope that everyone has that wish, but she really did it.
She did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a testament to her tenacity, and she had tenacity. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so if you're struggling out there today, keep striving. One foot in front of the other, one day at a time. That's just keep doing it, because you're making a difference in a child's life, and that's what matters. And those kids, even though you may never know, boy, you're making a difference. You really are. So I used to tell people when I first started, this is probably gonna make me teary eyed. So, you know, but I used to tell people, because I started this company, Lighthouse, and I used to tell my friends and my family and people that would talk to me about why did you do this? What did you do? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Fighting the fight that you fight. And I said, because at the end of the day, when I die, see, I gotta be careful. I used to say, I just want to hear, well done. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. See, makes me cry.
Yes.
But now, 7 years later, I don't wonder. I don't do it just because I know when I meet my Savior. Well done.
Absolutely.
So keep doing it. You keep doing it. And it just is, it's a beautiful thing to know that you have purpose in your life, that what you're doing matters. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell right there.
So, absolutely.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you for making me cry.
Sorry, I enjoyed talking to you so much.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. Where do people go to learn more about Very Best?
Well, verybestisd.net. And then we're also on Facebook. And if you go to the Facebook page, you can go back and look at our photos and see what that self-defense class looks like. It's pretty exciting. And you can also see some pictures from some of our adulting classes. I mean, we haven't just flooded it with all of the stuff, but there are little snippets out there. So
awesome. And Very Best. So just so you know, it's VERIBEST.
Yes.
So named don't put a Y in there. There's no Y. Yeah.
Yeah. Named after Very Best mayonnaise or possibly bread. I mean, it was.
No kidding.
There's a little history there.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, and that makes sense. You know, that's a great name for pasta. It's a great name for a town though, too. You know, it really is super fun.
When they originally went to file for a post office, the name that they wanted was Mullins, because Isaac Mullins is who settled the community. And we still have Mullins Crossing, a road. We have Mullins Cemetery, but when they filed, there was already a Mullen, Texas, and they could have two similar. So the community actually held a contest, and a young lady went into a grocery store and she saw Armour's Very Best brand, and that's how it came to be. So
that's a great story. I love it. I love it. Well, Mandy, again, it's been a fantastic conversation. Just enjoyed it talking to you. Love what you guys are doing. Love big towns. Love small towns. Small town America is so great. So I appreciate it. And just thank you for being on Brighter Together.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It means a lot to me.